Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life with your host Avik. This podcast is all about exploring the latest research, sharing personal stories and providing personal tips for improving our mental health and well-being. Each episode will be joined by experts in the field of mental health as well as individuals who have experienced the transformative power of a healthy mind firsthand. Together, we will dive into a range of topics from managing stress and anxiety to building resilience and cultivating happiness. So, join us on this journey to discover new ways to take care of our minds, bodies, and souls. And let's work together to create a healthier, happier world one episode at a time. So, let's get started. Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life. I'm your host Avik, and today we are joined by Kore Janke. So welcome to the show, Kore.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very excited to chat with you about overcoming obstacles today.
Lovely, lovely. Yes, as you mentioned, today's topic is very great, where we'll be talking about overcoming obstacles and also turning the challenges into opportunities, which is a great thing to learn from. But before we do that, I would love to mention this to all of our listeners quickly that Kore is a visionary leader in community pharmacy and personal development. So as the host of the Successful Thinker podcast and the author of The Successful Thinker, his journey from curious child to successful entrepreneur is truly, truly inspiring. So with a knack of revitalizing the pharmacies and fostering the positive work environment, Kore's 7 laws of 21st century leadership emphasize relationships, delegation, and a mindset of success. So why to wait? Let's join us as we explore his insights on achieving the success and cultivating a healthy mind. Welcome to the show again, Kore.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that fine introduction.
Lovely. That's really lovely. So Kore, to start with, if you can share a significant challenge or maybe the setback that you have faced in your career or personal life. So, and also at the same time, if you can also mention how you turned it into an opportunity for the growth.
That's a great question. So as you said, I'm a community pharmacist, which means that for the most part, I work 10 to 12 hour shifts on my feet all the time. And as I get older, I have found it increasingly difficult to take care of my own health. You know, here I'm a healthcare professional trying to take care of other people and help them with their health. But because I was getting so tired and worn out and burnt out in some cases, you know, my physical health was starting to really suffer because, you know, it's easy to skip your meals while you're working. It's easy to skip your water. And then when you get done, you just want to go sit on the couch and die. And so I had to have a face-off with my scale, and the scale won. So I, this is recently, this is within the last few months, actually. And so I thought, now there's some things that I need to do differently. And the first one is to change the story in my head. Yeah. The story in my head said, well, you're just too tired. You're getting old now. You're in your late 50s and you just have too much going on, too much to take care of, to take care of yourself, right? And that's what I call a lousy story. So I had to change that story to say, you know what? You are still strong enough to work 12 hours on your feet. So you must be strong enough to do something in addition to that. So I actually hired my own coach, who's a pharmacist who lives in Miami, and we've been working virtually. And I started looking for options. What could I do to turn the situation around? And so one of the things was my gym, the one that I was going to, was closing at 9 o'clock. So I was telling myself this story that if I got off at 8 o'clock, that I'd never have time to do a full workout. So why bother?
Yeah.
But if I turned that around and I said, well, what could I do? I found quickly that there was a gym actually closer to my work than the one I was going to, where they are open 24 hours a day. And so I started going after work. And what I found two things. I found two things. One was that you actually feel so much better after your workout. From stretching out and using your muscles, if you go to work and then you do a workout, you feel so much better than if you just go home and relax, right? You try to relax, but your muscles are stiff, tight, and tense. The second was that there's all kinds of young people still going to the gym at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock when I was there, and they were so motivating and inspiring. As a result, we're about 3 months out now, and I've lost about 10 pounds, and I'm so much stronger physically than I was 3 months ago. So, you see, I think everything in your life is based on this story that you tell yourself inside your head. And we have that in the Successful Thinker book. It's law number two, the law of the story. So, if you want a better life, you got to tell yourself a better story. Does that make sense to you?
Exactly.
And so that has been my greatest, biggest challenge lately. But the way the Successful Thinker got put into place was because about 12 years ago, 13 years ago, I was incredibly stressed out because the companies wanted so much more from me than I could produce. And I had been telling myself a story at that time that if I was responsible for everything, that I had to do everything. And at that point, I ended up being in a situation to where I just didn't want to do it anymore. I didn't want to go to work. I didn't want to do anything. I was so stressed and so tense. And yet I had a family to provide for. I had a son who needed to eat, and I had a wife to take care of. And, all the other things that people have, right? House payments, car payments, and all of that. And at some point, I didn't care if I lived anymore. I was so stressed. But then I had this turnaround thought. I had this thought that, well, what do you want? Do you want your child to grow up without a father because you just couldn't take it over this stupid job? And so I started asking myself a question: how could I improve my situation? And one of the things I started thinking about was the boss that I had at the time, who was very, very difficult person. He kept telling me that I had to learn how to do more with less. He kept wanting to take away staffing and, support help from us. And he kept saying, you have to learn how to do more with less. And I never thought that was possible. So I came up with a different idea. I said, well, I can't really do more with less, but what if I could do more by becoming more? How could I improve myself and the way I manage people so that I could do more? And that's where this whole seven laws of 21st century leadership came about, because I realized that if I was going to survive in my work environment, and if I was going to survive in life, I needed to learn how to get other people to help me and how I could add more value to them for helping me. Have you ever run into that yourself?
Not exactly, but I have also faced this kind of situation where I've been asked to do more with less, for sure. So,
And it can be really disheartening and discouraging and frustrating. But I learned that if we learn how to work with other people and bring out their talents, and have them do things that you're not good at and things that you don't like to do, it is amazing what you can accomplish. And we learned by accident that if you include other people in your plan, if you ask other people for help and you delegate to other people and you to help them develop their skills, they actually love that. I never wanted to do that because I always thought that I was burdening other people. But it's amazing when you trust somebody with a job that you don't like to do. It is amazing, number one, what they can do, and number two, how you can actually add a lot of value and impact to their life because you're helping them become better at what they do.
Lovely. That's really, really true. So also one more thing is hitting in my mind, like we often talk about mindset, right? So what mindset or maybe the approach do you adopt when do encounter obstacles or the setbacks?
I love that question because, of course, that's an everyday, all day thing if you're not careful. And I want to tell you something that I learned from doing my own podcast. So I was interviewing a person who's sort of a counselor type person, sort of a psychotherapist type person. And we were talking about relationships. And she said, one of the things that a lot of people forget is you forget to ask yourself, is this really the right time to say, have a conversation with your spouse over something that you're one or the two of you are upset about? And she said, what you want to do whenever you're facing a problem, whenever you're facing a challenge, is you want to ask yourself, have I eaten enough? Have I drank enough water? How tired am I? Have I really thought this through? Because one of the things that happens in my life is that it's really easy to react when something is going badly. But if I were to take a few moments to just eat, like, let's say a protein bar, drink 6 or 8 ounces of water, and then go to the bathroom and then approach the situation, I find that I'm much less likely to make it worse. I think a lot of times we don't really realize that we're a human being and that we're like a car, right? Your car is not going to run unless it has enough gas. And we're not going to function effectively if we haven't taken care of ourselves and if we haven't just stopped long enough to think through what we're doing. One of my favorite pieces of advice, there's an author called Stephen Covey. He wrote the book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And one of the things he said in that book is he said, you can't change what happens to you, but you can change how you respond to that. And the way you do that is you try your best to increase the space between what happens and how you respond. So instead of responding in 5 seconds, maybe give yourself 5 minutes. So one of the things that I do is a lot of times I will say to an upset customer or an upset employee or even my wife, let's give it a few minutes. Let me think it through, and then I'll get back to you with a solution.
Lovely. That's great. So, here also one thing, like, how do you differentiate, like, between a challenge that can be overcome or and one that may require a different approach or the perspective? What do you say?
Oh, I love that answer or that question. So one of the things that I have always thought is that there are certain things that are problems and there are certain things that are facts. So a lot of times we sit around and we complain and we get upset about things we cannot change. Like you can't change your age, you can't change the past, you really can't change what other people are doing. So what you can do is you can say, those are facts, those are not problems. But when you look at a problem, one of the people that I love to follow is a guy, an author named Brian Tracy. And what he says is that what you should do whenever you're looking at a problem is you should write down 10 to 20 solutions for this problem. Because we always want to go for the quick and easy solution, the one that comes right to the top of our head. But when you start asking yourself, what else could be the solution? Or when I'm working with someone else, I'm saying, what else could be their problem? One of the things that we forget when I'm talking to a person like yourself, you're not just a podcast host. You're a whole bunch of other things in addition to being a podcast host, are you not? Yeah, so other people are thinking that when you're at work, you're just the worker. But you might have a sick parent, you might have a sick child, you might have just had a fight with your significant other. You know, when you start looking to work with other people to problem solve, one of the things you want to do is really say, hey, where am I coming from and where are they coming from? And maybe take just a few minutes to suggest to yourself that, you know what? I got to figure out what's going on with this person so that I'm giving them the opportunity to do their best given the circumstances they're in. For example, I have spent the last 8 days at the hospital with my father. He's been having some health challenges and he's doing okay, but I'm going to work after our interview today at the pharmacy, and people are going to expect me to be that stone wall cool guy that I've always been, and no one knows what is going on with my father. And if you look at it towards the other person, I don't know what's going on with their father, right? And I think I know a person who says this way. She says, you should always be really, really kind because people are facing battles that you know nothing about. And in the pharmacy, we see that all the time, right? You come up and you're getting medications because you might have a condition that no one else knows about. And no one gives you any slack because no one else knows about that. And if you and I can approach the people that we approach from a real standpoint of acceptance and compassion and love and kindness, you will find oftentimes that people can really far outpace your expectations because I think most people just really want to be understood. And I think being a human being is really hard.
True, exactly. So, in your experience, what role does the resilience play in overcoming the obstacles and seizing the opportunities?
That is a wonderful question because almost everything you try will not work the first time. Almost everything you try will take longer than you ever imagined and cost more in terms of resources than you ever thought. And when I say resources, I do mean money to some degree, but energy, time, patience. And so what has to happen is you have to realize that you can only get where you want to go if you're willing to be unreasonable about it. Unfortunately, most people stop at where rational people would stop. And you have to decide that if this is what I really want, there is no place to stop. Because rational people stop way too soon, and irrational people like Steve Jobs and maybe Bill Gates, when they were first starting out computers, were doing things that were impossible. And now they're commonplace. But you can only do the impossible if you're willing to not negotiate on your goals. So one of the things that I've done with my goals is I've decided in advance that I'll never quit. Because it takes a lot of energy to hem and haw and oscillate and go back and forth. But should I keep doing this? Should I keep trying? That takes a lot of energy. But if instead your mindset is such that no matter what, I'm going to get there or I'm going to die trying, there's so much power that you can have because you're not wasting energy.
True.
And when other people tell you that it's something you can't do, you don't even hear them because there's so many times where people in history have been told no one can send radio across the airwaves. Like Marconi, right? And now, geez, you and I are talking, you're somewhere on the other side of the world
Exactly.
in real time.
True.
If someone would have told, my great grandfather that there'd be this thing called the internet where you could interview somebody in real time and you can then distribute this to the whole world, he would have thought you were crazy. Do you realize what it would have taken for you and I to have a conversation 100 years ago? One of us would have been on a boat for an awfully long time. Right? So when you think about what's possible and what's impossible, if you think what you're trying to do is impossible, you're wrong. It's only impossible if you decide to give in, if you decide to become rational and agreeable to all those people who say that you can't do it.
Exactly true. Great. So, looking back, what do you believe has been the most valuable lesson you have learned from overcoming obstacles and turning them into the opportunities?
Well, I think there's a few things that are really, really important. Number one is you don't have to do it all yourself. Most things things that you want to do, be, or have been achieved by other people. And so what you want to do is you want to find a mentor, even if it's someone that you can't contact. You know, there's the books, there's the programs. You want to find someone who's made a map to where you want to go. You also want to realize that whatever someone else has learned, you can learn. So there's, yeah, exactly. So many people think that the leaders in our industry, whatever our industry is, or the industry we want to get into, or the famous people, you know, we're always that way. But everything that someone else has done, they couldn't do before, and they didn't even know existed at one time. And so you, whatever anyone else can do, you can do. So you have to, in your mind, realize that you're willing to do whatever it takes to learn whatever you need to learn to get wherever you want to go. And you're not going to be good at it the first time.
Correct.
Look at someone like Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, the famous American basketball player, was cut from his high school team as a sophomore. There's, you know, I mean, and then he said, you know what? I got to get better if I want to be better. And he got better. You just have to have the mindset that you know what you want in advance. I'm also a great believer, though, in some serious mechanics behind that. Writing down what your goals are every single day and really being protective of your time and energy. I also think that a lot of people get very spread out in what they want to achieve. And I think that as human beings, you can only be world class at one, maybe two things at the most. So you really want to choose. So to be a world class author, speaker, coach, there's a lot of things that I would like to do, but don't do. Like, for instance, you know, I wouldn't mind spending my whole summer on the golf course, but you can't do both. So every time you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. So you got to really get clear on your future. Where do I want to be 5 years from now? What do I have to say yes to, and what do I have to say no to? And I really think that a lot of times we say yes to a lot of things that we would never say yes to if it wasn't for feelings that are really sort of imaginary, like guilt or doubt or overwhelm. So the more you can simplify your life, the more you can cut out things that you aren't truly, truly passionate about, the more likely you are to reach the goals that you really care about.
True. Wow. Lovely. So that's really, really great. And as we conclude today's episode, I definitely want to extend a heartfelt thank you to Corey for sharing his invaluable insights on overcoming the obstacles and transforming the challenges into opportunities, which is very, very important for all of us. So, Corey's wisdom has illuminated the path for all of us, dear listeners, which reminding us that setbacks are not the roadblocks, but rather invitations for growth and transformation. We can take it that way, definitely. So by adopting a resilient mindset and embracing the adversity as a catalyst for change, we can navigate life's challenges with grace and emerge stronger and wiser on the other side. So, dear listeners, always remember that every obstacle presents an opportunity for the growth, and every setback is a stepping stone towards success. So, let us face life's challenges with the courage, perseverance, and an unwavering belief in our ability to overcome. So, thank you so much for tuning into Healthy Mind and Healthy Life, and be sure to subscribe for more inspiring conversations and actionable insights to empower your journey towards a fulfilling life. So, until next time, stay resilient, stay hopeful, and keep turning obstacles into opportunities. So, thank you so much.